Good morning. Take your Bible and turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I got to listening to some of the tapes, some of the messages that I recorded in the past, and as I dubbed down series, studies, books for individuals who are interested in the tapes of these programs. And I noticed something, and it's kind of embarrassing, but on the other hand, I don't know what to do about it. Almost inevitably, every morning I say, "Good morning," and open your Bible. And part of that, I suppose, is habit, maybe just a rut. But on the other hand, since it is in the morning, as you're listening to this broadcast, I cannot think of anything more important in conjunction with this broadcast than an open Bible. If you don't have an open Bible, I don't care whether you say you have an open mind or not, without an open Bible, without knowing what the Scripture says, you're not nearly as bright as you think you are. You're not nearly as smart as somebody else may assume that you are. Now, I'm not trying to pick a fight with you with a statement like that. I'm just trying to emphasize how important the Word of God needs to be, especially when it comes down to evaluating an issue, as you consider your own walk with the Lord, as perhaps from time to time people move, they have a problem in the church, they're looking for another home church. How do you determine where to go? How do you determine what is the right church for you? What does the Bible say? You see, if you have a good working knowledge of the Bible, then you have a handle on any issue you face. You got the Word of God. Now, there are some things the Bible doesn't speak explicitly in. It doesn't say, "Thou shalt not smoke." I know that. But there are principles involved. The Bible doesn't say, "Thou shalt not go to a church that has a brick facade." No, it doesn't say that. But the Bible does give you very adequate guidelines as to what constitutes a good church, what constitutes something that is worthy of your support. Now, a couple things before we get into the study. Since I mentioned this matter of the tapes, I remind you, if you are interested, and I suspect there will be people who are interested in this section in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and chapter 14. You may know people who are involved in the charismatic movement. You are not. And you say, "Man, I wish they had heard this." Now, I'm not claiming to be the last word or the best authority on this, but I will give you what the Bible says. And if you would like to get these messages, these broadcasts on tape, it is exactly what you're hearing on the air, without the music in the intro or the exit from the broadcast. No music in that sense. Each program is going to be about 14 minutes long. It makes them in usable segments, so you're not bogged down, 45 minutes into a lecture or something. Take it in small snippets, as it were. You will find, perhaps, there are folks who need this information who are not in the listening area or are not able to have the radio on because of work or whatever, and you may find these tapes to be very helpful to them. I've had people in the past say, "I always grew up hearing such and such, and when I heard that, I had to follow up on that." Now, what does the Bible say? If you have, let me encourage you, if you have a loved one in the military, say over in Iraq or Afghanistan or someplace overseas, and they're unable to get into a Bible-preaching church, or their services, and some chaplains, unfortunately, are not what they ought to be, and you want to encourage them, you want to encourage their spiritual growth, or you simply want to, send them something that will benefit them, if you feel like these broadcasts would, by all means, avail yourself of it. we're not making money on this. It is simply a matter if we can break even as far as the materials go and the shipping, then that's all we ask. But anything that we've gone through on the air in the last 3 years, if you'd like to have it, or a section of it, or a whole study, that's up to you, your preference, but we'll get it to you, okay? Now then, let's see, I think time's getting away. We better get into the scripture here. Verse 18 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. Now we're talking here about individual members, but these individual members, some are going to be selected by the Holy Spirit for the edification of the rest of the congregation. This is not something they ask for. It is not something they besiege the throne of grace in order to receive. But it's a gift, and the Lord selects who he will to give it. Now, does that mean he loves somebody more than someone else? No. But knowing their character, he knows who would be more dependable, who would be less likely to have their head turned, be less susceptible to spiritual pride if they were called to this particular ministry. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it has pleased him. You will notice in verse 18, as it hath pleased him. If we back up, let's see, into verse 11, but all these worketh that one in the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally. Here it is, the last three words in verse 11, as he will. Twice now in chapter 12, we have seen that it does not reside within the individual. It is not some wonderful ability that they have cultivated. It is rather according to the will of God. And he, based on his own foreknowledge and his purpose for the individual involved, says, all right, you will do this. This is what I want you. This is your role in the body of Christ. I want you to note something here. This is not a matter, nor should it ever be taken out of the context as being, this is not he's favoring a few and the rest are second-class people, second-class citizens. That's not it at all. He has set every member. He didn't just throw them out there in a glob and they just kind of clotted together and this is the body of Christ. Notice, please, God hath set the members, every one. Now, this is an individual. Every individual member has a place and has a role in the body of Christ, and God Almighty has set them in that place for that role, for that particular area of service in the body of Christ. Now, when it says God hath set members, every one of them, in the body, think of it, if you will, as like, did you ever get some kit, and whether it was a model, or maybe if you had to fight with some assembly required gift, you know that when you rip open those plastic bags of parts, and they're all supposed to go together, they're all supposed to have a use. Did you ever notice that if you don't pay attention to the manual or the instruction booklet, you wind up with parts left over? Or you wind up with something that's just not right. Now, every part has a role to play. Every believer has a role to play. Every individual believer in Jesus Christ has some part to play in the program of God. And if you are ignorant of it, that means that part doesn't get played. That means that job doesn't get done. Somebody else is going to have to carry your freight. That's not right. It's not efficient. It's disobedient to the Word of God. Now, some people just don't know this. And as a result, what they're doing or not doing is based on their ignorance. But my friend, if you have the Word of God, and if you've been born again, and the Holy Spirit indwells you, there is no reason for you not to be functioning in the role that God has picked for you. Too many times, the devil will focus our attention on something we don't have. and convince us. We need that. We really want that. You just got to have this. And we don't pay attention to what God has given us. Our attention is deflected from the area that God has specifically equipped us for, but then we're whining and complaining and being miffed and pouting because we don't have somebody else's job to do. And that's ridiculous. It's foolish, but it's entirely too widespread. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are there many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Notice, please, that the body is fitly and compactly joined together. Christ is the head. You and I are body parts. I don't know how many millions of cells there are in our bodies, but each one has a function. Each one is designed specifically. I'm in the process of reading a book. Let me recommend it to you if you're the least bit interested in science. And you have a problem with evolution. There's a wonderful book written. It's not written by a Christian, incidentally. It's called Darwin's Black Box. Darwin's Black Box. It is the most fantastic book to underscore what David said in the Old Testament, that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. The author's last name is B-E-H-E, I believe. I'm not sure how you would pronounce it, but the title is Darwin's Black Box, written by a non-Christian, and frankly, my friend, it rips the guts out of evolution. And that's not even really what he's attempting to do. He just simply says, we got a problem here on a microbiology level, a biophysics problem here that you cannot sweep under the rug. Evolution can't work based on what he shows. Now, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, part of the unit, part of the body. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. There's something, you know, it's funny. I find some, well, most people have something that they look at and say, well, you know, that's pretty good, and the rest of the body says, that's not so good. I've never met any lady who was totally satisfied with her appearance. There are people, oh, somebody has such lovely hands. Oh, somebody has such beautiful eyes. And there'll be some particular thing that they point out and say, this is, you know, if somebody would say, what is your best aspect? What do you think is the best thing about your appearance? You would probably pick something and say, well, this is not too shabby. This is pretty good. But there's some things we don't like. Frankly, myself, I'm not wild about feet. They tend to be ugly. They tend to be smelly. But how in the world would you get to place without one? They're the most marvelous piece of engineering you'll ever come across. Fantastic. Can't get along without them too well, now, can you? Those members, nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble or not what we particularly like, are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. He goes on. Now, my time is gone. We'll need to come back next time. I hope we've spent some time here in this chapter. It's an imperative. It's an important. It's a necessary book, especially in today's confusion. Join me next time for the next edition of The Bible Says.